Today, as we prepare for this message of today, I don't really know if it's a 2019 message or if it's a final message of this year, but it could probably be preached at any time throughout the year. And what it is, it's walk in wisdom. Finish the year in wisdom, start the new year in wisdom. I'm all for that. How about you? And so this is going to be taken. You know, last few weeks back, I was out of Ephesians, and I'm still in Ephesians, and I've just moved over to chapter 5, in Ephesians 5. And it's verses 15 to 21. As you're turning there, it's one of these things. To succeed in the year ahead, I believe it'll take wisdom. It's nothing new. To make it through this past year, it probably, if you had more wisdom, a lot of different things would have happened differently, amen? But it's going to take wisdom on our part. Now, if we were to take on this next year with just our own abilities, and I think many times we have done that even in the past years, we take on these struggles, we take on our challenges on our own abilities, that I'm pretty sure we all fall short, don't we? If we rely on our wisdom, our abilities, our understanding, I'm pretty sure that we'll end up not accomplishing that fullness of what God has for us. And I'm saddened myself personally that way. Maybe you are too. To think that even this past year, past month, whatever it may be, that I have taken on the life's challenges and I've tried to do them my way, with my abilities, with my understanding, with my comprehension of things. And I don't know about you, but I fall short. How about you? With our understanding, with our intellect, it's just some things that we just can't figure out as much as we think we can. And I wonder what I've left on the plate, so to speak. What have I left on the table of the things of God? Because I was bullheaded. I was a man. Or a woman, you guys are with us, and thought that I could do these things and figure it all out. I believe that as we go further with God on a lengthening basis of time, that we find that we're a lot quicker to turn things over to Him, aren't we? It's through wisdom, because it's like, you know what? I'm not going to do this again this year like I did last year because it didn't work. I've got to find the mind of Christ and figure this thing out. And let Him work in me. So it's time for us to prepare for this year ahead. And to go into it believing that it'll be a year of accomplishing what God has for us. I think we've got to have that mindset initially that this next year coming up, look at it as what? It's a clean slate, so to speak. You've not had anything in error. You've not done anything wrong yet in 2019. You know, you've maybe, for sure, we've not accomplished anything in 2019. It's coming, though. It's just days away. And that year is there. And it's prepared for me. God has prepared 2019 for me like He has prepared it for you, hasn't He? And so what I've got to do, what we've got to do, is we've got to connect with God in a way that we say, Lord, lead me and guide me through this next year for how You have it planned, how You have it staged for my life. And it's not to make me something out to be big and successful. Success, you know, what is that? To me, I think success would be that the Lord would say, you've done well. You've accomplished most, if not all, that I've got for you this next year, or whatever, when we get to the end of 2019. It won't be long, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll be standing here in just a blink of an eye and we'll say, well, we're at the last week of 2019. 2020 is coming. Talking to a friend, and we're thinking about that. And maybe as we get into that year of 2020, what do you think of vision-wise when you hear the doctor say you've got 2020? You see good. Could that be a year that, you know, I'm kind of like when I talk to him, it's like, man, let's just get past 2019. I want to get to 2020, you know. Whoever wants to wish your time of getting older ahead of the time frame that it's already going, it's going fast enough. You know, it's hard to believe. Just last year I was 37, and this year I'm 38. It's just, I wish. I think our lives are on cruise control somewhat. It's like we're going, shoom, you know. And anyway, but we'll be at 2019 before you know it. But 2020 is coming, and so who knows? That could be the year that maybe the Lord will have some clarity in my sights anyway. How about yours? But I want those clarities and those things of God even in 2019. So we got to look at 2019 coming up and thinking it's coming. I got to be ready, and I got to just desire and be ready for what God has for me. So in the New King James, as I look at this, in Ephesians 5, 15 to 21, "See then that you walk circumspectly," in other words, somebody might have in their Bibles, "carefully, so then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Redeeming the time. Looking at that, that would be making the most of time. You know, we flitter away and waste a lot of time in our days, don't we? It just happens. You look back over a day, a week, a month, and you go, where did the time go? What have I accomplished? What have I not accomplished? What should I have done? But in 16 it says, "Redeeming the time, make the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Verse 18, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation," or degradation, depravity, debauchery. You know, we know what wine and liquor and alcohol does to a person if they have it in overabundance, right? Not a whole lot comes out of their mouths that makes sense. Their minds don't think clearly, that's for sure. So Paul is saying this, don't be drunk with wine, but be what? He wants you to be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. We talk about the Spirit, and the world talks about a spirit, and the two are not the same. The world's spirit comes out of a bottle. You know, a lot of them, when you think about spirits. But Paul is saying, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it finishes out, submitting to one another in the fear of God or in the fear of Christ. So he's wanting us to be filled with the Spirit. How important that is. We speak many times throughout the year of the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled. You need to have the Spirit in you, actively working, actively leading you, speaking to you. Because through that, that's, I believe, where we get wise. Because the Holy Spirit, on behalf of God, is speaking into our spirit, and he's telling us things. He's sharing with us. He's giving us some direction if we listen to it. I was coming up after a visit in Chicago on Friday, and I got up this way. It was probably 5:30-ish. And I just passed the toll road coming, or the toll booths coming into Wisconsin, and all the traffic kind of started getting kind of jumbled there, and it goes from three lanes into two and all, and I could just see a lot of things happening. The weather had been somewhat freezing rain, snowish, just kind of messy. And all of a sudden in my spirit, I take it as my spirit, but I just thought of something. I said, you know what, Tim? It would probably be wise for you to get off the interstate right here and come up through Beloit and through Beloit Avenue and come up that way, than staying on the interstate with all these people going fast. Because they don't slow down when it's slippery roads out there, doesn't seem like, you know. And I started seeing brake lights coming on and this up, and I thought, oh boy, this may not be good. I don't think there was any accidents. I've not heard of any. But I took that prompting as I was driving that way, that I really didn't want to be stuck on the interstate for an hour or more because of an accident, and I was so close to home that if I just got off right here, I could find my way home through the two-way roads and stuff and be home without a problem. And so I did that. As I was driving closer to the exit, though, I was thinking, Lord, are you trying to tell me? Are you protecting me? And then I got off, and I drove, and I would look over to the interstate where I could see it, and it looked like everybody was going well, you know. And, okay, I was really wanting, deep in my thoughts, I thought, if I would see red lights flashing over there, I would know, Lord, you spoke to me, hallelujah, you know. Sorry for them to be in an accident, hope nobody got hurt, you know, maybe it's just whatever. But I don't think there was any spin-outs. I don't think there was any, everything was flowing good. I could have stayed on the interstate. But as I have my time with God, and I'm listening, I believe, I want to be responsive. I think maybe a lot of you hear God, but you don't respond to God. And then you find yourself in problems. I guess I was much more comforted in myself knowing that, okay, maybe it was just my own wisdom. Maybe was I wise? I don't know. I just know the interstate, bad roads, people coming out of Illinois going fast, you know, wanting to go north. And I got off. But for the year ahead and years ahead, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. In verses 15 and 16, perhaps wisdom is what is most necessary in helping us control our time. Remember, he said, "See that you walk carefully or circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." To use your time wisely, it does really take wisdom, doesn't it? Has anybody ever had your time just flittered away and you wondered where it went in a day or in the morning? And you go and you look, you go, oh my gosh, it's 12:30. Last time I looked, it was like 8 o'clock. Where did those hours go? Flittering away. Now the thing about us, as we look at this, to have wisdom is what is maybe most necessary in helping us control our time. We all have the same amount of time. Nobody in this room has more hours, more days, more weeks, more months in your year than I do. If I look around, you talk about everybody being equal. We are all equal in the amount of time that we have each day. But then we look around and we wonder, why are some going further than me? Why is that person? Why is that happening? Why are they? It seems like they've accomplished so much more. It seems like they have a sense of fulfillment. It seems like you talk to some people and they go, "It's been a great year. I've accomplished a lot," you know. And you know, you look at them, and then sometimes you look at your life and you go, "Well, I haven't accomplished hardly anything that I thought I was." Why is that? Maybe it's because we weren't good stewards of the time that God has given us. He's given us all the same amount of time. Maybe they're a little bit more wiser in those things and maybe a little bit more productive in those times that God has given them. I don't know. But we can't go up there and kick God on the shins and say, well, so-and-so succeeded because they had like extra 2 months in their year than I did. They had an extra day or two in each week than what I did. No, we all have the same amount of hours, days, weeks, and months. And it's, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to allow God to use you in those time frames to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish? He wants you to accomplish things in your life of good things. Don't you agree? He's a blessing God. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of care and love. Remember Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, 13, through there that I've always shared at times. But he says that I have plans for you. Plans to paraphrase it. Plans for success, plans to succeed, not plans for failure. God is not planning, and God does not have the year 2019 all set up for you so that he can watch you fail. God has a good success plan for you in 2019. What is it? I don't know. You may not even know. There's things in my life that I don't know exactly what's planned for 2019. But I know who does. My God. How about you? Your God has 2019 ready for you. It's plans to succeed. It's plans to gain things. Now we have to go on, and it talks about as we pray to Him, He will hear our prayers, but then we've got to listen to Him and respond accordingly to what He is telling us. And that's a whole other message, I'm sure. But it may be that those that accomplish so much, have a fulfillment, seems to go further, they must use their time a lot wiser than I. In verse 15, circumspectly gives meaning to walk cautiously. So when he's saying, see then that you walk not as fools, but as wise. To walk, giving this, cautiously, with sensitivity. And it goes to describe here the thing I was looking at. It's as though a person would be walking through a thorny terrain. How many of us have gone through a field of briar bushes or briar patch or sticky things on the ground? In the beginning, when you're young, you would just run through there and you would go, ow, 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 ooh, ow, ow, ow. You'd come out of it and go home and you'd have all these burrs stuck around you. Anybody remember? Maybe those aren't up here as much as they are down south. I don't know. But I remember down in the south where I was at, and running through these fields, these little burrs, man, they would be, you'd come out in your pant leg, you just had them stuck all over, you know. Huh? I don't know if they were out of sand. They were just in fields with just, they were just little things about like that, just stuck on flowers out there. But you'd go through them, and you would certainly feel them. But that's kind of like, you know, as a young guy running through those things, and you come back with those things on your skin, and it's like some of them are pretty prickly. I wasn't using much wisdom. It only happens once or twice that you get those things stuck to you, and they'd be around your socks and everything, and they'd be on your shoelaces. I mean, they were just like right there, man. And a few times like that, I think you gain wisdom. Like, don't go next to that thing. Don't go just running willy-nilly through there, you know. Send Mikey. He'll do it and see how he comes out. Okay, it's clear. Let's go, you know. Until Mikey gets wise, we can keep using him. But it's describing this circumspectly, or giving cautious to your walk, being sensitive in your walk as a person would walking through a thorny terrain. Even if you're going through briar bushes that have, you know, I've seen bushes out there that have needles like that long out there. I don't know what they all are. Maybe that's what those are. But those things will hurt you. And when you're walking through a foliage or your brush, you know, you will tell when you get too close to one of those things. So you begin to walk what? Cautiously. You walk circumspectly. You're paying attention because you don't want to get stuck. I think that's what he is saying here. Paul, see that you walk carefully, not as fools. Fools walk unwise. Fools just walk into stuff and they wonder how they get there. So be careful. As we go into this next year, be careful as we walk out these days. Walk not scared, but you walk cautiously. You walk with sensitivity. You walk with a thought that there could be, you know, potholes ahead. I don't know. You might have to adjust your travel a little bit. And then in verse 16, redeeming the time. It's to capitalize on opportunities. God is giving us opportunities. He's giving you an opportunity. I just wonder, this is just me personally, I just wonder how many opportunities God has given me that I have not capitalized on. Have you ever thought about that in your walk with Him? Like, where have I left the best on the table, you know? Where was it that I didn't fully receive all that he had for me because of my ignorance, because of my bullheadedness, because of my lack of wisdom, because of I can do it myself, my own ability. We've talked about that already. But it is to redeem the time, to capitalize on every opportunity that is good. Now, wisdom will also tell you what opportunities not to capitalize on, if it's working, correct? You know, you have been told, you have felt in your system or your thoughts or your consciousness at times about, I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't think that's a good thing to take on. I don't think I need to buy that. I don't think I need to go out and accumulate this or whatever. And so you leave it aside. That was probably some wisdom on your part that you didn't need to get into maybe that debt or doing that thing or whatever it might be. So there are opportunities. We all have opportunities come along. Don't you agree? There's good opportunities and there's bad opportunities. It's where you make that decision of what you want to follow. You talk to people out in the world and they're having hard times with the law, you know. And you know what? They have the same amount of hours, days, weeks, and all that in the year as I do. You know, they've got a mind and think and all that, as we all do. But sometimes they just don't make wise, what? Decisions with the opportunities that are there. And they pick up on a wrong opportunity. And then it goes downhill from there. So opportunities come to each of us every day throughout the year, whatever time frame. And there's good ones and there's bad ones. And as I think for us walking in wisdom by that of the Spirit, because what? We're being filled with the Spirit, that we can find these opportunities that are good opportunities that God has placed out here for us. And then we receive those things and we go that route and we come out and we're like some of those that we just talked about where you come out feeling like, hey, you know, I've accomplished something. I've fulfilled something. I have a sense of fulfillment. It's because you picked the right opportunity with the wisdom that God has in you. Because why? Because Paul is saying to be filled with the Spirit. So in verses 15 and 16, Paul is speaking a sense of urgency against the evilness of our time, or of their time, I should say. We too need to have that same sense of urgency for the times that we live. Our days are also difficult. So we must keep or maintain God's standards in our walk, in our life, to act wisely and to do good whenever and wherever we can. To do good, amen? Can you say that? Do good. I'm going to do good for God in 2019, you know? And so there was a lot of things taking place back in Paul's day as he was sensing about this evilness of their time. You know, a lot of crazy things were going on. A lot of witchcraft, a lot of sorcery, a lot of things, just like there is of today. And so what Paul is saying here, and what I so much love and appreciate out of God's word, is that I can read what Paul is telling the church of Ephesus or any of the other churches back then, and what he was telling them to be cautious of, to be watchful of, is the things that I can tell you today, folks, be cautious of and be watchful of, because it's of an evilness of this world. You've got to guard yourself. You've got to what? Guard your heart. Because a lot of things wants to come into that heart of yours. God says we need to guard our heart. So that evilness that Paul is speaking of is the evilness that I, Tim, would be warning you with the same way. Is there's evilness out in the world, but you already know that, don't you? We got all the news channels and the newspapers and, you know, we hear it all, we see it all, and it's the same thing that he was dealing with. Now we get into 18 and 20. Remember, 18 and 20 is talking about, do not be drunk with wine, okay, because wine in which it does, it degrades you, it's a depravity, it's a debauchery, it just makes you crazy, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. To be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, overflow with a continual song of praise and thanksgiving to maintain a Spirit-filled flow in your life. See, it goes on to say, to be filled with the Spirit, and it continues on, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We go through our days, we go through this year coming up, we go through each day, we need to just be singing a song to the Lord, amen? We need to be singing a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. We will dive into each one of those here in just a minute. But I think the important thing is to be filled, overflow with a continual song of praise and thanksgiving to maintain a spirit-filled flow in your life. You know, some of the best ways to refill yourself with the Spirit of God is to sing. Is to get alone or get in a group or whatever and just begin to sing. Begin to worship. Begin to praise. Verse 18, to be filled is making it clear to us that such a Spirit-filled condition does not stop with a single experience. It's wonderful you got touched by God. It's wonderful that you got filled with the Spirit. It's wonderful that, have you been refilled? Are you allowing Him to continually fill you? Be filled. To be filled is making it clear to us that such a Spirit-filled condition does not stop with just one experience, but it is maintained by continually being filled, as we read in the verse just now. To be filled. I feel bad for those that don't even have the initial want to be filled. I feel bad for those that don't want to launch out into what the Holy Spirit is about, even today for them, and they're missing so much of the things of God. But even with us being filled, again, we have said this many times over, and we have to say it again. Continually let yourself be filled. Amen? You can be at home, sitting on your couch or whatever, and you just get the unction. Just say, Lord, fill me more with your Spirit. Fill me up, Lord, till my cup runneth over. You know? Oh, Father, I need more of you. Keep me topped off, Lord. Because, see, we don't realize that as we go through life and challenges and demands are placed upon all of us, and as we do those things, you don't understand at times, but it's not until later on that you've realized that something's missing in you all of a sudden. And what's missing is you is that your spirit level is maybe down to your knees, you know, if you're looking at how you're filled. And, you know, as you go down and down and down, it's just like you get lethargic sometimes in the things of God. And you feel like, oh, what's the use? Oh, boy, it's another problem. Maybe what's happened is you've not realized where your spirit level is at and say, Lord, fill me, Lord. Fill me to overflowing. I need more of you, Lord. So one filling is not enough. You're going to have to be continually filled day by day, situation by situation, whatever it may be. You need to be filled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it works. He fills you up. You know, I certainly won't get into the details other than the times that we've been on call-outs for the chaplain program for the police department. On each one of us that are pastors and we go out, you know, there's a pull on us spiritually because of the situations that we go into and the draininess of them. And you really don't feel like you're doing a whole lot, but all of a sudden you realize when you leave that scene and you get back to wherever or even driving home that all of a sudden it just whew, comes out of you. But I'm so thankful that I've got a God that as I say, Lord, I need more of you. I need you to fill me up, to bring me back up, top me off, because, you know, just had a situation that I dealt with, and it's drained me, Lord, trying to be comfort and peace to the families in these situations, Lord. And so that's why it's important to be continually filled, all of us, Because when a demand is put upon you, especially for care and intervention for somebody, for you to give your best, you're giving God. You're giving the presence of God out of you, and you're just, Lord, what can I say? What can I do? What shouldn't I do? Whatever the case is. And being filled with the Spirit to overflowing, to be walking in the Spirit, I'm going to tell you, folks, that you will make it through situations that you would probably not be able to on your own ability because of just the way things are. But I'm thankful for God, thankful for the Holy Spirit, and that He hears our prayers. Amen? Amen. And when we say, I need more of you, Lord, do you think He sits up there going, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Maybe, maybe not. Let me check your list. Oh, no, I filled you 3 weeks ago. That's plenty. The Lord would say, oh, child, my son, my daughter, let me fill you with more of me. Let me come into that place of void in your life, that place that's a void in your heart because of pain and sorrow and suffering or wherever it may be, hurts. You know, a lot of us, you may not have lost a loved one. You may just in your own heart, you may have a hurt in your heart that is so deep that it's still there from maybe decades ago. We got to continually ask God, oh, Father, fill me with you. Fill me with you, Lord. Fill every void that is in my heart or in my soul, whatever it is, Lord, my mind, whatever it is, Lord, fill that place with you. And I'll, just like anything else, if I were to have a, excuse me, sometime back, long time back, probably 12 years now, one time when I did a message to where I put a little bit of tea in a water vase and it was kind of cloudy and I just kept getting new water and just pouring it in. And as I poured it in, we were talking about how the washing of the Word of God, washing of His Word, you read His Word, let it come into you. And it continually, by doing that, I believe that it will continually clean you out. It'll take the impurities or the evilness or the sin or whatever the case might be. Well, the sin's gone because you've asked for forgiveness. But just taking the life that you have and allowing more of Him to come in, and pretty soon the water becomes a little bit more clearer as we keep dumping more of Him in us. As we find in our lives, in our hearts or whatever, in our minds, that we've got a void because of something. You know, talking with people, especially people that have experienced maybe a passing of a family member or whatever, we find that, you know, my prayer is, Lord, fill that void that's in their heart because of that loved one now is gone. Because they've got a piece of them is gone now. And so they got a hole. They got an emptiness. There's something there. And Lord, fill it with you. Fill it with your peace. Fill it with your love. Fill it with your compassion. Fill it, Lord, to the point that they sense you, they feel you at this time of their need, and fill that void. So even if you don't have a serious situation like that, just going through life day in and day out, I think you will have a void in your spiritual level. And so that's why it's important to do what? To be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we look at it like we're on a trip and our tank is half full. Now it's down to a quarter. Now we're trying to figure out, should I stop at the next exit or can I go for the next, you know, 50 miles? What should I do, Lord? Will it be cheaper down the road? Anybody been there? Yeah, you get there and you go, it was cheaper back the road. Oh, well, we need it now. I think sometimes we run in our spiritual tank, you know, where we're in such a hurry. See, life has us in such a hurry, we forget to ask for a fill. We got to take care of this, and I'll be right back with you, God. Okay, but let me handle this in my family. Let me handle this in my life. Let me handle this situation. And I'll stop at the next turnoff, and I'll ask you to fill me. And all of a sudden, I don't know, I think in all of my driving, which I've drove a lot in my lifetime, I've only run out of gas once. And it was in town. Well, yes, but duh, I can't go there, but it's just like, you know, and I said, well, I know why I ran out of gas. It was low in the tank, and I was coming up Parker, and I was going up onto Memorial, and it's a hill, and I think the gas what was in the tank went all the way to the back, And it was going, it was sucking air by the time I got halfway up the hill. But thank God I was in town, because I just got out and walked over to Quick Trip. Got me a little container of gas. Had to pay for the container, but it got me going. But I thought I could make it. I don't need to be filled, Lord. I can make it. I've got enough to get me through this. I've got enough to handle this situation. I got enough, Lord. And you know what, God? If I don't have enough of you in me, you know what? I'll probably be able to take care of it myself. Wow, my own abilities kick in. Does your abilities kick in as well? Yeah, they do. So in verse 18, Paul contrasts getting drunk with wine, which only produces a temporary high, to being filled with the Spirit, which produces a lasting joy. With Christ, we have a better joy, a higher and last longer joy, and it'll cure depressions. It can cure monotony and tension in our lives, you know. We should not be concerned with how much of the Holy Spirit that we have. Now listen to this. We shouldn't be concerned with how much of the Holy Spirit that we have, but how much we allow the Holy Spirit to have us. You go to a group of people and saying, hey, how much Holy Spirit do you have? Man, I'm topped off. I'm three quarters. I'm great, you know. Well, are you? I think we need to look at it as the point of how much of us have we allowed the Holy Spirit to have. So let's draw near to Him daily and be led by Him, and let His power constantly be in us. Not just at this last weekend of 2018 and, oh, we're going into a new year, let's get hopped up on, oh, we're going to be filled with the Spirit, we're going to be strong for God. You know, we want to do all those things, but this is like I'm saying, it says like walk in wisdom for 2019, but this is just like take 2019 off, just walk in wisdom every day. Because every day you're making decisions. Every day you've got opportunities. Every day something's coming across your path, good or bad. And how are you going to make those decisions? But if we're walking with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, He will help us through many situations. Do you agree? He'll help you through those things. So now we're down to verse 19. And here we're reading the importance of speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And this is cool. So Paul is telling us, you know, speaking to one another in a psalm, speaking in hymns and spiritual songs. What Paul is telling us here, psalms are scriptural lyrics that are put to a song. We have one as in Psalms 104. There's a chorus or a thing that we would sing that says, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, for I will rejoice if He has made me glad. And then it goes on, He has made me glad, He has made me glad. But anyway, that's a psalm that was put to some music. And it comes out of Psalm 100 down on verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. So, what do we say? Speak to one another in a psalm. Maybe that's what you need to do to yourself. How many times have you been by yourself in a chorus or something like that, a psalm has come up in you all of a sudden? Especially during the times of your prayer and you're just meditating before God, and before you know it, something comes up, you know? Like, oh, yes, Lord, oh, hallelujah, Father, oh, I want to enter Your gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And then as you go on, something else comes up, and maybe another psalm swells up in you that is something of God. So that's a psalm as a scriptural lyric. The other one he talked about, and we're gonna overstep the second one. I want to go to spiritual songs or impromptu rhythmic. Well, yeah, there's a rhythm to them. Lyrics that are given by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So a spiritual song. Have you ever been into that level of God and it's just you and him maybe? And you're just at a time? I've had it happen even during worship times here when we've had songs going forth and maybe all of a sudden you just got some instrumental going on or whatever, and there's something that rises up into you of something. And it's not really, I don't believe, a song that I've heard or anything like that. It's just some things that you just begin to let out by that of the Spirit. That's just an impromptu of the Holy Spirit in you, you know? I don't know. I thought I could muster one up as you're just thinking about these things. I don't know if the thing would happen that way. But given by the Holy Spirit. Have you had that happen in your life? You kind of know what I'm talking about. It doesn't. You're the only one that knows the words to the song because it's coming as it's going. Heavenly Father, I love you. You know, Jesus, I praise you and glorify you. Lord, come into the situation, I pray. I'm going to take it one day at a time with you on my side. Whatever, you know, you're just going, 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 you know. It's like you're there and it will come out of a time to where when you're in his presence and the Spirit of God is just flowing and you disconnect and all of a sudden some words start coming out of your heart. And it's telling back, and it's singing back, I think, to God. You know, what he is doing, has done, will do, what you sense, what you feel. And so the importance of speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The psalms are scriptural lyrics to a song. Spiritual songs are impromptu lyrics that are just given by the Holy Spirit. And what's crazy about them is they rhyme. They kind of just flow, you know, to a point. It's like, wow. Wonder how that all works, you know? We're coming close here. I want to touch upon this really neat here, to encourage one another in praise. The text instructs, and this is out of 5:18 and 19, instructs interaction in our praise. Paul tells the Ephesians to speak to one another using psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Entering a gathering of believers, even with a small offering of praise or worship, begins to be magnified as we join with others. Their voices encourage us, and we inspire them. Separation from the local assembly deprives a person of this relationship and its strength. Let us assemble often and praise much, encouraging one another in praise. See, that's, you know, I know sometimes I don't know, you know, when people are missing, when people leave, when people don't attend on regular basis and things, I don't look at it as, oh, great, our numbers are down. My heart goes to them believing that the further that we stay away from the body of Christ, of believers, that the wolf is out there and he's going to come and eat your lunch. He's going to put things upon you. He's going to challenge you in things, and you're out there. You know, so I look at it as, Lord, help them understand that, you know. And here and again, it's kind of hard to be a part of a body if your body is not there with the body, and then you get into a time of singing and fellowshipping, and maybe a spiritual song comes through by that of the Spirit, and there's power in corporate unity. Amen. God will show up in the corporate ability, in the corporate union. He will show up, because I can tell you this, he has showed up with me all by myself. So I'm not saying that just because you're by yourself that God won't show up where you're at. But I'm just saying that there's a much more powerful sometimes thing that God does, because it just manifests by power, the energy that comes and the encouragement that comes. And so it is so important to be part of a faith and part of a body. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So in reading this, I'm going to finish this out, and then I want to do something here with you. In Ephesians 5, I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says, therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, and discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity, and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness or corruption or stupidity, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly guided by Him. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for all things, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So that was the Amplified version. It just kind of brings out a little bit more understandings of those things. So now I want to drop over to the hymn part of it. I want to read this story first. In 1844, now remember, oh, I didn't even talk about a hymn, did I? Okay. Hymns, they are humanly inspired lyrics in a song. A hymn comes out of somebody's heart. A hymn comes out of a life situation. All of a sudden, a hymn is penned, good or bad. And so, let me read this. Remember, a hymn is a humanly inspired song or lyrics. It was back in 1844, a young Irishman had completed his college education and returned home to marry his sweetheart. As he was traveling to meet her on the day before the planned wedding, he came upon a horrible scene. His beautiful fiancée was tragically lying under the water in a creek bed after falling off of her horse. Later, he moved to Canada, and eventually he fell in love again, only to experience devastation one more time when she became ill and died just weeks before their marriage. For the second time, this humble Christian felt the loss of the woman that he loved. The following year, he wrote a poem to his mother in Ireland that described the deep friendship with Jesus that he had cultivated in prayer through the hardships of his life. The poem was published anonymously at first under the title Pray Without Ceasing. Then 10 years later, he finally acknowledged this well-loved text had been written by him and his friend, Jesus. Yeah, I had a co-author with that. Who was he? Jesus. And in 1868, attorney Charles Converse set the text to a tune, and he renamed it. I would say that this young man, Joseph, needed a lot of Jesus at that time. And so I like that when he says, 10 years later, he finally acknowledged this well-loved text had been written by him and his friend Jesus. And in 68, an attorney set the text to a tune, and they renamed it, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So what was penned way back then is that hymn. I really wonder, and we'll never know, I wonder how many lives that it has touched today as people sing that. And don't just sing it, but study the words. Or sometimes it's good not to even, you know, get the hymnal book out if you've got one, or a hymn, and read it. Don't sing it. And read it, because it's the story of a person's life sometimes, and the tragedies and the sorrows. And when we would be going, oh, doom and gloom, can't get any better than that, all of a sudden, you know, they end up that he's there. Jesus was there, and Jesus is there. What a friend we have in Jesus. Every grief and sorrow to bear. So as we come out of one year, getting ready for the next, day by day, whatever it turns out to be, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be thinking of walking in wisdom, Ephesians, you know, 5:15, as it's kind of helped us here. And be encouraged and be led by that of the Holy Spirit. And don't just have it one time, but ask to be filled again continually be filled, and to speak with one another in psalms and hymns or songs. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.